As she woke up in the pod, she remembered three things. First, she was traveling through open space. Second, she was about to start a new job, one she could not screw up. Third, she had bribed a government official into giving her a new identity file. Those are the opening lines of The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers. I'm Anthony Johnston, and this is Recently Read. Regular listeners of the Incomparable Network will have heard of Chambers' debut before, as it's been discussed and praised on book club shows by several panellists. In fact, that's why I read it in the first place, after hearing so many other people sing its praises. And it turns out they were absolutely right. It is a great book, an amazingly accomplished debut. That's mainly why I'm talking about it here on Recently Read. I wasn't going to, seeing as it's been covered on the network elsewhere, but it really is just that good. So if you haven't yet heard of the book, the premise is simple. Rosemary Harper, a human born on Mars, joins the crew of the Wayfarer as a clerk. The Wayfarer is a starship, a tunneling ship, in fact, which means it builds the wormholes that other ships use to traverse the universe. Ashby, the captain, is also human. But humanity in this book is split into two camps, and Ashby is from the almost militantly pacifist group that makes up most of humanity. Other humans on the ship include Kizzy, an upbeat engineer, and Jenks, a little person who also happens to be in love with the ship's AI. And trust me, that's not much of a spoiler. Happens very early on. And then there is Corbin, a rather bad-tempered man who is in charge of growing the algae which ships use as fuel. Then we get to the non-human characters. There is Dr. Chef, the ship's doctor and chef, who is from a race that's almost extinct thanks to generations of intra-species warfare. There's Sissix, the ship's pilot, who is from a reptilian race. They're almost completely pragmatic, uninhibited, and massively empathetic. Very logical, but with an enormous amount of empathy that separates them from, you know, something like Vulcans. There is Ohan from an enigmatic race whose relationship with a parasite called the Whisperer gives them the ability to navigate outside of normal space-time, which nobody else is capable of doing. And finally, Lovey, the ship's AI, who has her own distinct personality, but no body. In fact, in this universe, it is illegal for sentient AIs to be placed in artificial bodies. And if you're wondering why I've spent so long talking about the characters rather than the plot, well, that's kind of the point. The plot concerns the ship's year-long journey to a distant planet, so they can tunnel a wormhole from the planet back to a more central part of the galaxy and thereby enable easy access for others. This is all because of a new and fragile treaty between the Galactic Commons, which, as you can imagine, is a big sort of ruling group of all the sentient beings in the galaxy, and an incredibly warmongering race called the Taremi. And that's pretty much it. Until they actually get to the eponymous small angry planet, not a whole lot of what we might normally consider plot takes place. Now, that said, I do have some differences of opinion with my Incomparable colleagues and other reviewers over this book. Several people have compared it to a TV show, in that the book is made up of lots of short episode-like vignettes rather than being a single continuous story. Some have compared it to the TV show Firefly and the banter between those crew members, and some people have even emphasized that it's almost a comedy, a light-hearted romp. I disagree with all of those to varying degrees. Yes, some of the chapters and incidents are very short, and sometimes there are long gaps of time that pass between them, but they all pay off somehow later. And one of the very impressive things about this book is how much time it spends on character rather than adventure plot. And yet all of that character work is part of the plot and becomes very relevant further down the line. That's something that many speculative fiction authors struggle with, but Chambers handles it with seeming ease. Some of the interactions are occasionally amusing, it's true. But it is not a comedy book or a satire by any means. It's funny in places because, well, people sometimes say funny things. But it's not a comedy. Some editions of this book have a cover that tries to make it seem like a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy pastiche or something, and it is, I think that's terrible. It's most certainly not that. As for Firefly, well, I love that show as much as anyone, but the thing that drove that crew's character banter was plot conflict, and they did it very, very well. But in this book, by contrast, there is a very low amount of adventure-style conflict, a surprising number of setups that would inevitably lead to fights and chases and arguments and laser guns and what have you in other work, are here they're simply resolved by diplomacy and tolerance and people generally behaving like adults. And frankly, that is remarkably refreshing. So it really is that character work that drives this book and pulled me through from start to finish. Yes, there is new tech and spaceships and innovations, and everybody has little wrist-embedded chip sensors to pay for things and identify them. And, you know, there's all that sort of stuff that you expect from a sci-fi novel. But in the best tradition of lived-in sci-fi, exactly how it all works really just doesn't matter all that much. It's not that important. What matters is how it affects the lives and interactions of our core cast, almost all different species, bafflingly alien to each other at times, but bound by a sense of friendship and optimism, which again, frankly, is a bit rare in a lot of sci-fi. To paraphrase an old friend of mine who also loved the book, he said, "It's not about space rations and magnetic boots and how being in a spaceship is like serving on a manly submarine. Instead, you get communal meals, and look, we made you curtains as a present." The characters are so fully realized that towards the end of the book, I realized myself that I was wholly and completely invested in the loving relationship between a man and a non-corporeal AI, which was suddenly in jeopardy. That's not something that happens every day. And yet Chambers pulls it off, and many other unlikely sort of engaging relationships throughout the whole book. Now, if you go to Amazon or Goodreads, you will see that reviews and opinions about this book are all over the place. Everything from 5 to 1 stars and very little in between, frankly. If what I've just described gives you pause, then this book may not be for you, because Chambers really does go all in. But for that same reason, if it does sound like your kind of thing, I highly recommend it. So consider this yet one more voice urging you to read The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers.